Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. Behind the locked doors. In 1987, I was a student at a small junior college. My being a divorced mom of six children, I was glad to find a house to rent that was cheap. I wasn't told that we had to share the house with a ghost. The home was built before the Civil War by slave labor. It had seven rooms and a bath in it. Two of the rooms were locked and we were told not to open them. My daughter was 16 at the time and curiosity got the best of her. While I was at school one day, she opened one of the rooms. There wasn't anything spectacular in the room. It was small and had only a half bed and a rocker in it. We thought nothing of her opening it and wondered why the owner was so funny about that room, especially since we needed the extra bedroom. But things started to happen. At first, it was just a feeling of being watched. Then we would hear noises like something or someone scratching on the walls. Finally, it got so bad that we were all sleeping in the same room. One night, I had all I could take and sent all the kids to their rooms to sleep. It was storming and easy to go to sleep with the rain hitting the tin roof. I woke to the piano playing. I looked at the clock at the side of my bed and it was 3 a.m. None of my kids played, so I went into the hall to see what was happening. As I got to the door, my two boys let out a yelp and came running into the hall. Both were bleeding from what looked like a pinprick on their backside. Needless to say, that was the last straw. We left there that night and stayed in the car for the rest of the night. The next day, we found a trailer for rent and moved. I found out later that several people from the school had rented that house at one time or another, but none ever stayed long. What is in that house, I don't know, but I haven't been back there since. Close encounters of the worst kind. My first encounter of the terrifying kind, I was 15 years old, married and pregnant at the time. I had just moved into a small white-framed house. My landlord was my dad's co-worker slash friend, who just happened to live next door, oddly enough. At first, I thought something was wrong with my stove. Every time I would make chicken, it would turn out looking very yellow. I had been cooking since I was 4 for a family of 5, so I knew it wasn't my cooking. One day, upon making fried chicken again, it came out very yellow, so I decided to put it in the oven for a while to finish cooking it. When I removed it from the oven, it wasn't yellow anymore, but green this time. Naturally, I thought it had to be the stove, so I threw it out and we ate out. When we got back home, we watched some television before going to bed. Every night, actually in the early morning, I would be awoken by a chill or freezing breeze, only to find all 4 windows in our room wide open. I would wake my husband at the time and ask if he opened the windows. He always said no. So, not fully convinced that he didn't have anything to do with it, I stayed awake all night, but still lying in bed, when suddenly the windows flew open one at a time. I was so scared by this time that I decided I was going to sleep in the living room. So I convinced him to come with me and we closed our bedroom door. Several suicidal thoughts raced through my head for some reason at this time. One terrifying night, we were in the living room watching TV, and I remember this night so well because I was 3 months pregnant when I felt the twins kick me at the same time. Anyway, I started crying and shaking uncontrollably. Then we both heard a loud bang. It was the windows being tossed up forcibly all at the same time. There was a very good breeze blowing the curtains like a flag on a pole in a windstorm. In my nursery, I had a rabbit that had purple ears and red eyes. It had never bothered me before, but when we got up to go to the room to see what had happened, I was literally crawling on the carpet because I could feel a very bad presence the closer I got to the nursery. Still crying, shaking, and crawling, I entered the room on all 4s. I was terrified at what I saw. The baby swing started swinging by itself, and in it was my rabbit, eyes all aglow. Swing kept going faster and faster, and I couldn't move, not even to blink. I felt something very, very bad in that house. And when my husband came in there to check on me, he was too chicken to make the first move. He, too, was on all 4s and shaking uncontrollably. When we were both finally able to move, we jumped over each other trying to get out of that room. We both ran outside as fast as we could. He pulled the car around and we immediately went to our preacher's home to get help. Our preacher came and cleansed our house, but it would take an army of men before they were getting me back into that house. No way. When we had moved, Diane, a friend of mine, had told me that the reason she let my cat go hungry for a few days while I was out of town was because something terrified her as well, and it took a while before she would tell me all about it. Last she knew, when she ran out of that house, vowing to never enter it again, she had left my kitten inside. When I got home, the kitten was in the garage, but the kitty messes were in the house. The garage was completely clean, and the kitten had been in there for at least 2 days since Diane had left the house. Since then, I have never set one foot in that house again, and it still remains vacant. I've had several encounters before and since then, but none as horribly terrifying as this, and the next one I'm about to tell you all about. My husband and I had two of his friends living with us for rent purposes. We lived in a townhome with two stories. Doug, our good friend, had brought the stuffed monkey with him. I hated that thing. Of course, I had always hated anything that looked scary since I was a child, especially dolls for some reason. Anyway, Doug put the monkey upstairs in his room, and when I came downstairs, there it was sitting on top of the stereo. Everywhere I turned, it was there. This was the first sign of something paranormal. Second, I was asleep one night and heard Doug shouting for me to go back to bed. So naturally, I got up, and when I opened the door, he was silent and white as a ghost. He told me the next morning that he saw me come out of my room, look straight at him, and turn to go down the stairs when he shouted. Just then, when I opened the door for real this time, the ghostly figure of what he thought was me disappeared. It scared us both terribly. The next afternoon, when I was thinking about what had happened, and when I decided to shrug it off as him having a bad dream, it was at that moment that I flipped on the hall light, and it glowed a bright purple color for a few seconds and then went out completely. Well, when my husband got home, I told him of the paranormal things that had been happening, and he didn't believe either of us because it never happened when he was around, and our other roommate Steve was never around. My husband believed me after one dreadful night of sheer terror that sent us packing instantly. I was in the kitchen cleaning up the dishes, and Doug was helping me clean up the rest of the kitchen, when suddenly we both got a very sick feeling, only to open the laundry room door and find gas from Steve's motorcycle tank spilled all over the floor. He was told not to work on it in the house, but he never listened. So I went to grab a mop only a few feet away, but when I went to open the door again, it was locked from the inside. You see, you had to go through the laundry room to get to the back kitchen door. That's why it had a lock on it, for those of you wondering how it could be locked from the inside. I couldn't get either door open and became very ill in the time that I was trying to pry the door open. I was rushed to the emergency room and was given lots of oxygen to filter out the gas fumes from my lungs. When my husband took me back home, he asked what had happened, because even though Doug and I could smell the fumes from the gas spill, he could not. So I told him, and lo and behold, when he went to the laundry room to check it out, the door opened without any problems. It wasn't locked either. So once again, because it never happened to him, he didn't believe us that time. What happened next is where you had better hold on to your hats. My husband decided that there must be something going on, reverting back to his own teenage years with his own encounter with evil. He remembered that our now ex-friend Steve had said that he used to be tied up with that role-playing game called Dungeons and Dragons. Let me tell you something. That is very, very evil, and it pulls you into it without you even knowing he's got you till it's too late. Anyway, thinking that it possibly has something to do with Steve and this game, he tears Steve's room apart looking for the game. He found two dice to it and he decided to use gasoline to burn them. One die was wood and the other plastic, so you would think that they would burn easily, right? Wrong. Doug was looking out the bay window in the dining room while sitting in one of the twins' little chairs. The smoke from the gasoline turned blue, and when my husband went upstairs to search for more pieces, we knew exactly what area of the room he was in, because the smoke would turn like it was pointing in the direction that we would hear him walking to. I noticed at one point that Doug could go longer than I had ever seen anyone go without blinking. I could see the fire in the pan of gasoline and heard a loud sizzling and screeching noise coming from the pan. I turned to look back at Doug in the girl's chair when suddenly he was thrown hard to the floor. I mean, the chair tipped back and his feet remained level, as if they were planted firmly on the floor, but they were not. He hit his head hard on the tile, and still he never blinked or moved at all. He looked like he was pinned in that same manner that he was once sitting straight up in. I was concerned, yet very terrified at what I had just witnessed happening to him. I screamed for my husband, and he came running down the stairs, only to see what I saw. Then he went over to Doug and tried to snap him out of it by shaking him repeatedly. When Doug snapped out of it, he told us that he heard a voice say, "You are mine and you will always be." Then he felt something punch him in the chest and knock him over, not being able to do anything about it. He couldn't move. Whatever it was had him. Meanwhile, the dice are still not melting or burning, or for that matter, anything. Then one die got that very loud screeching sound again, the wooden one, I suppose, because then suddenly it split evenly in half, and part of it popped out of the fire and into the grass. I looked everywhere for it, but couldn't find it. Just then, I got an eerie feeling that something was coming after me. I grabbed up both of the girls, age 1.5 at this time, and ran as fast as I could to the car with both of them and my Bible in my hands. Amazing what all you can do when that adrenaline gets to flowing. I sat there in the car, still feeling that it was coming after us, honking the horn frantically now for my husband and Doug. They were both screaming, "Open the door," as they were racing for the car. We piled in the car and drove off, tires squealing and all. I never went back, but still wonder what happened to the half-split die that is on the ground somewhere of that property. The shabby haunted house. My family moved quite a bit, and when I was 8 years old, we moved into a house in Huntington Beach, California. I hadn't liked this house from the beginning because it was very small and cheaply made. It was in a neighborhood which was right behind an alley to a local Kmart. It wasn't a bad neighborhood, but just on the shabby side. I don't remember much from it, but my mother said when we first moved in, she was surprised to see that I would refuse to sleep in my own room. I had been quite an independent child till then, and I could not sleep unless it was by myself. When my mother inquired as to why I wouldn't, I said I was scared, which may seem perfectly normal that a child would be scared, but I was a very brave child. So my mother gave in and I slept in her bed with her. Now everything was fine for a couple of months, but then my brother started waking up in the middle of the night, drenched in sweat, and screaming about the terrible nightmares he was having. And my father suddenly spaced out, meaning he would all of a sudden faint or fall asleep just out of nowhere. It got worse when my mother said I had to start sleeping in my own bed. Every night I would see a large man rummaging furiously through my closet, and he had a small kitchen knife in his hand. I would scream then to my mother, and she would come in and calm me down. One night she just got fed up and tried to show me there weren't any monsters in my closet. When she reached for the knob to open my closet door, she cried out suddenly and started running to our bathroom. She later told me, when I was older and wouldn't be frightened, that the doorknob was red hot and that she had burned her hand on it. After that, something very strange happened. Every night and at a very late hour, my alarm clock would go off. I'd wake up screaming then too. My parents couldn't figure out why, though, because every morning at its scheduled time at 7, it would go off. They eventually just took it out of my room, and when they did, it stopped going off. We also started noticing lots of dead animal carcasses would be in our backyard. There'd be a lot of dead birds, possums, and even rats, though no one reported rats in their home. My mother would always say she saw an old woman snooping around in our backyard. She said she saw her looking through our garbage and tapping on our windows. My father would just say her mind was playing tricks on her and giving her a suspect for the dead animals. This went on for a while, then I began not sleeping at all. I would just be walking around our house at night and not sleeping a wink. My mother says I must have been sleepwalking because I'd have to get at least some sleep because she never saw me sleep in the day. But I could remember walking around all night and being wide awake. We finally moved from the house because my father got an offer for a larger house nearer to the ocean, but my mother and I still think something was weird about that house. Well, if not weird, possibly evil. Night voices. In 1995, my friend Don and I both moved into a place in the Oakland Hills that happened to have been a casualty of the great firestorm in the Berkeley Hills in 1991. Now, we know that there were no definitive reports of deaths in the fire, but rumors, of course, fly about. And when you're in the midst of an event like this, you can say that time may have put its stamp on this region of Northern California. The two of us used to crash in the loft of Don's room, which happened to be a part of this house severely damaged by the fire. As we would settle in, the normal sounds of a house still settling from recent construction work would envelop our little spot. That wasn't the unnerving bit. Just as we would stop talking, you could begin to distinctly hear the sound of voices. Now, you may be skeptical and say that we must have been hearing the sounds of our neighbors or traffic on the hill. No, that wasn't it. The house was still surrounded by many vacant lots up for sale, and there's little of any late-night traffic in that area. The sounds of the voices would begin as the people were shouting instructions, then sobbing, lots of cries of either fear or pain, and plenty of miscellaneous babble. At first, we refused to tell one another of the voices, thinking individually we were losing it. But one night, a group of our friends were sitting about in the living room of our house, and the paranormal became a topic. Well, Dawn finally could not contain her experiences any longer. I then felt a wee bit better, but then more so unnerved. So I added my two cents, and a couple other folks who had gathered in the loft at various times also contributed their stories. We've kept this to ourselves for some time now because we can't really confirm what the voices were from or their origin. They could really be heard when it was around dusk until just about 3 or 4 a.m. and then nothing until the following evening. I have the theory that we had some sort of time spot that reflected a period in time that caused great destruction, sorrow, pain, and little else. Dawn is open to that, but also feels that we could have been listening to the cries of people who somehow got lost in the fires and died unnoticed. In this area, wouldn't be unheard of. We used to get a lot of homeless people that would migrate into the hills when the lower regions would get hot in the summer until late autumn. So you can imagine how many homeless folks sleeping in the cool of the trees would have gotten caught up in the melee, and since their status was that of a less than favorable citizen, in the eyes of all good people, with the money to live in the hills, their deaths would go unexpectedly unnoticed. We don't claim to have the answers. We don't expect folks to believe us, but we do know that this happened to us, and we can both, along with some other folks, attest to these events being real and true. A haunting in Nebraska. My mother lives in Nebraska. She moved into her current house in 1990. It was built sometime in the 1980s, so it's not that old. Well, I moved in with her in 1991 to go to school, and when they were building an extra room for me, all sorts of weird things went on. I never did like to walk anywhere in that house without a light on. Too creepy of a feeling. Anyway, things have been seen in that house, and stuff has gone on in that house that defy explanation. I was sitting downstairs one afternoon, playing Nintendo, and heard someone walked down the hall into the kitchen and pulled dishes out of the cupboards. I thought it was my little brother home from school, so I yelled for him to come downstairs. I got no answer and then heard the footsteps go back down the hall, and it got quiet again. About 10 minutes later, same thing. I decided I wasn't going back upstairs until someone, anyone, came home. My mom had been in her bed and woke up in the middle of the night to see someone bending over her, just looking at her as she lay in bed. When she tried to focus her vision to see who or what it was, it disappeared. Eventually, I moved on to a dorm for my university studies. And even then, when my mom would beg me to come over and spend the holidays with her. But I know that there's just something there, something about that house that is not quite right. It follows me. The first recollection I have of an encounter was when I was very small. My sister and I were waiting in a bed together for Christmas morning to come around. Like all small children, we were excited and couldn't sleep. When we say a figure opened our door as if to check on us, and after a while of it standing there, we thought it was our father. We started saying, "Dad, Dad." After no response, we started getting scared, and my mom heard us and told us to be quiet and go to sleep. This continued until we fell asleep, not to mention we got in trouble about the third time it happened. The next time I vividly remember something like this happening, I was still very little. We had just returned home from vacation and my sister and I were laying in bed talking, and we were looking out the front window of our house when we noticed what looked to be a man sitting in our front tree watching us. We finally convinced our dad to go check it out, but by that time whatever was there was gone. As far back as I can remember, I've had strange things happen to me. When I was about 8 or 9, I remember doing my homework in my room. I would hear my name called by what I thought was my mother, and when I would go to see what she wanted, she would reply she wasn't calling me. Also, my sister had the same experience. And since then, I've talked to my mother, and she says that when she was little, she had the same thing happen to her. Even now, I tear up at the thought that someone or something is following my family. Other things that have happened is that I've been sitting in a room alone or with my mother and I would smell a man's cologne. When my mom, it's like we both look at each other and just know that the other one is experiencing the same thing. After a little time has passed and it feels safe to discuss it, one of us will broach the subject. Doesn't matter where I live, it follows me. I've been married twice and my first husband didn't believe in ghosts. That is until he lived with me for a while. During the time that we were together, he experienced things crashing to the ground that weren't there. Sounds like the TV was on, yet you went to the room where the TV was and it wasn't on. We had a clock that my grandmother gave me after she died. It kept flying off the wall. It got so bad with the clock, I just threw it away. I have a music box my grandma left me that I keep the lid closed on now because I used to listen to it till it would wind down and leave the top open, then for no reason it would start playing. Most of the things I remember were in the house I lived in while growing up, like the time I was already married. We lived in an apartment, so we decided to go out to my dad's to have a small get-together, myself and my husband, a friend, and her husband. They also had a small child. We were out there for quite a while, and we got to talking about ghosts and all the experiences in the houses and in other places. Casey was upset because her husband was saying things like, "Come on, ghosts, let's see you," etc. Casey, my friend, was very superstitious or religious. I don't know which played a bigger part. Anyway, she was telling her husband Dave to stop egging on the ghost. All the while, her son was playing all over the place behind me. I was listening to all this when all of a sudden I got tapped on my lower back. I was sitting in a bar stool thinking it was their child tapping me. I turned around to say something to him. Till this day, I don't know what it was, because when I turned around, he was some 25 feet from me, and there was no way he could have toddled that far in the distance it took me to turn around. We also have pictures of Christmas morning in my house. Another time we took a picture on a Christmas morning in the house. The TV was not on, however, when you look at the picture in the background, in the TV screen, there is a picture of a little girl. My stories could go on and on. Just all I want to know is it my house that's haunted or me? The ghost in the back room. As a little girl growing up, when my parents would go out or leave town, my brother and I stayed with Grandma. She had the normal cozy house that grandparents tend to accommodate. However, she had this room in the back of her house that was set away from the rest of the house. It was just behind the laundry hall and the garage, and it sat next to a small three-quarter restroom. It was always very cold back there. I remember how I hated that room and how I always thought that if I fell asleep in the living room, perhaps Grandma would let me sleep out there, but it never failed. She always stuck me in that cold back room. There were many nights when I would have a dream that I was having a dream. I would dream that I had awoken, and every time I did, I would see this woman dressed in 19th century attire with a bustle on her dress, high collar, dark hair up in a tight, thick bun, and soft features that I could never really make out. There were times when I woke up and saw her walk past my door as if from the bathroom, and she would be singing. Other times I would wake up and she would be at the foot of the bed looking at me as if I was her precious child. I wasn't afraid of her, but I did have an uneasy feeling. I remember one time waking up and she was standing right over me. I just pulled the covers over my head and rolled over, attributing it to my young, wild imagination. I never told anyone about it until I was, I believe, a junior or senior in high school, which would have been 1992. There was a blackout in town, so I decided to go up to my Aunt Nancy's house, way up in the woods. We got to talking and thought it would be fun to tell places we wouldn't want to be at this time of storm and blackout. I said, Anne's room. Anne is Nancy's sister. She asked me why, and I told her. She got this uncanny look on her face. This was just after the death of my great-grandfather, and some relatives came from all over to attend his funeral. Nancy told me that when my other aunt Teresa and her daughter, my cousin Andrea, slept in that room, they claimed to have the same dream about the same woman. Nancy asked me to describe the woman I saw, and I did. It turns out that Nancy herself had the same dream as I did, and the same as my other aunt and cousin. She didn't believe the other two until I told her my story. Apparently, Anne had her own experiences as well. However, I'm not sure what they included, if she saw the woman or what. Like I said, this was just after my great-grandfather died. The night he died, my great-grandmother slept in that room, and when she came out in the morning, all she said was, I'll never sleep in that room again. There are ghosts in there. She didn't tell anyone about what she had experienced until years later, to me. I was at her house about 2 years ago, and I was curious about what she had experienced, but I didn't want to bluntly come out and ask her, so I kind of eased into the subject of the paranormal, and conveniently, I threw in that I didn't like the back room of Grandma's house. She said, You've seen it too, haven't you? I affirmed. She went on to tell her story, and it went something like this. I was sleeping in the middle of the night when I heard someone go into the bathroom. I kept wondering to myself, why would someone use this bathroom? It's in the back of the house. Besides, the only other people in the house were my grandparents. I just kept waiting for the toilet to flush. I don't know, I was sleepy, and I heard someone go in there, and I was just waiting for the toilet to flush, but it never did. Then I heard the cat meowing and meowing really loud. She wouldn't shut up. I didn't want to get out of bed, so I let her continue to meow. She kept getting louder and louder. I was starting to get scared. Then I saw the doorknob turn, and the door opened up about 3 feet, and the cat came in and jumped on the bed. The next morning, she asked my grandparents which one of them had let the cat into the bedroom. Neither of them did. And the uncanny thing about that is that the door was shut all the way, and there was about 4 or 5 layers of carpet on the floor, so that door was extremely difficult to open. So if the cat were in fact to have opened the door somehow, it would not have opened it 3 feet. It would have opened it just enough for its body to fit through. That incident kind of shook her up a bit, and after she told me that, I never slept in that room again. We talked about it in the family now as the room. We have never investigated the history of the house. However, my grandma does have neighbors that were newlyweds, moved into a house nearby her, and they were taking photos of their new home to send to family and friends. And in them, there was a man in a sailor suit posing in the pictures, standing near tables with his hand on a chair, and others of the sort. They have these photos hanging in their house now, and just consider the sailor part of their family. Grandma's ghost has never given any negative vibes per se, so nothing more has ever been made of it. Then what it was and still continues to be is just the ghost in Grandma's back room. The ghost in the hallway. I live in Oregon, and I attend Southern Oregon University. Like most colleges, Southern has its share of ghost stories, most of them centering around Suzanne Holmes, a residence hall built in the 40s. Two ghosts are supposed to frequent Susie, that of a little boy who drowned in the foundation of the building after a storm, He was floating, toy boat slipped, hit his head, and died in about a foot of water, and that of a young woman who hung herself in the 1960s. I lived in Susie for 2 years and discounted the tales. Occasionally one would get an uneasy feeling, but I never actually saw anything myself, and so thought the ghost stories were the products of bored and morbid imagination. I lived with a bunch of fruitcakes anyway, so I didn't lend a lot of credence to their stories. Okay, so I've established myself as a skeptic. Here goes. In the winter of 1995, I was living on Susie's third floor. One night, I had a big paper to write, and so I was home all evening. I had my door open and folks were wandering in and out. I saw everyone who lived on the floor as the evening wore on. I knew where just about everyone was going and what they were up to. If one of my hallmates had a visitor over, I probably would have known about it. At around 2 a.m., I had to pee. My room was right next to the bathroom and near to one of the exits. The other exit was at the other end of the hallway, which was quite long. It being an old building, the doors were made of good solid wood. They made big banging sounds as they swung shut. I came out of my room, and there was a girl sitting smack in the middle of the hallway, reading a hardback book. She looked like she stepped directly out of the 1960s, like one of the girls in my mom's high school yearbook. If she was going for the retro look, she had it to a T. We're talking impeccable. Lightly backcombed hair, mousy brown and poofy, done in that early 1960s style with a wide red hairband, cat eye glasses, a red cardigan sweater over a Peter Pan collar white blouse, a plaid knee-length skirt, wide ankle socks, and sturdy black shoes. She was kind of chubby, and I didn't get the impression that she was trying to make a statement with her clothing. I had my hand on the swinging bathroom door, and surprised to see her, I said questioningly, "Hi." She looked up at me, kind of fear creasing her features. She replied barely audibly, "Hi." I was stepping into the bathroom at this point, but I wasn't all the way in the door yet. I thought to myself, "Wait, that's weird," and poked my head back out to look at her again. She wasn't there, and there was nowhere she could have gone. First of all, she couldn't have moved in the space of time it took me to poke my head in and out of the bathroom. She couldn't have gotten to either exit, and I would have heard the heavy doors opening and closing if she had. She could have possibly gone into a room, but again, it would have had to have been with superhuman speed. I suddenly felt terrified. Something was really not right. The need to pee forgotten, I scurried back to my room, turned on every light I had, and put on some happy music as loud as I could without waking up and pissing off my neighbors. The next morning, I went to every single girl on my floor, asking them if they had a visitor fitting the description of the girl in the hallway the previous night. No one had. Well, I don't know. She could have been just some random girl, but I don't think so.